The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, third day of December, 2012. Hope you had a great weekend. Dow is down 13, S&P is up 1, the comp is up 5, gold up $6.80, and crude up 35 cents a barrel. On the big screen in front of you, the S&P 500 E-mini futures. This is the hourly chart, and overnight, we spiked up to a high of 1424. But we closed right back inside of that highest weekly trading zone at 1421/22. We've taken out our zone at 1516, and we've probed lower, and we're at a real decision point right in this area right here. Unless we close back above that area, then lower prices are headed our way. And as you can see here, we had a call for higher prices, which we got, and a call for lower prices, which we got slightly, but we may have more in store. It depends on what happens right here in this little battleground. We had a number of tweets last night. Only two of those have triggered so far. All the rest, if you're following them, the rest remain active. On the British pound, the tweet was to be long above 160.50. We've moved the stop up on that twice at this point, but it's still live and looks like it still wants to climb. Got no wick on the top yet, and that is on the daily chart on a daily candle. The other was crude. And on that one, on the crude, we look to be long above 89.53, which was right here, okay, on the break of 89.53. And that one got up to 90.33. So that was about an 80-cent move on crude, which 80 cents in crude is not a bad move. Now, I also sent out a tweet last night that said this week looked like it had the potential to be some pretty range-bound trading interspersed with possible rhetoric from Capitol Hill that might cause it to spike in perhaps one direction or another. But until we get something definitive, either from Capitol Hill or the Middle East, I don't know that this market has a lot of impetus to move. We'll see, and trust me, I would much rather be wrong than right, because sitting through a week of range-bound trading is no fun for anyone. Last week, the final 2 days of the week, we were locked inside of a 9-point range. Prior to that, the average daily range had gotten up to back around 20 points, which is sort of normal. If you look at the last 3 to 4 years, that's kind of normal. But the last 2 days of last week, both Thursday and Friday, inside of a 9-point range. So we'll continue to watch, see what happens. Looks like we're dropping away from this area here, or at least attempting to. We're going to go straight to Michael this morning, get the recap done. Michael, are you there?
I am. I am indeed.
If you're ready to go, I'll push the charts right on over to you.
All right. Send them on. All right. Everyone should be looking at my charts right now. All right, and we'll go over all the trades here in just a minute. I'm going to spend just a little bit extra time on gold this morning because I did in live trading room. And let me just get it started. I just want to see who all made it in here. All right. Let me start the recording. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Monday, December 3rd. Can you believe it? December 3rd already, 2012. All right, the results for the live trading room this morning. Soybeans were plus 6. The Russell were plus 5. The gold were plus 7. Crude oil plus 24. And the NQ, we are minus 2 ticks on the NQ. All right, that's how we ended the morning session. I'll go over them again for you. Let's start down there at the bottom. Soybeans plus 6. Russell plus 5. Gold plus 7. Crude oil plus 24. And the NQ, minus 2. Okay. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. If you sign up for the free trial, you'll get 5 days in our live trading room. You'll get access to our everything you see here, actually. You get access to Dwayne and myself. You get access to all of the indicators and the charting platform. You know, if you bother to go out there to cfrn.net/apply and sign up for the free trial, all we ask for is your name and your email. Go through the rest of the process. Get signed up for the webinar as well so you can get into the live trading room. You know, if you just go through the steps to sign up for the free trial and you don't go all the way through to sign up for the live trading room, you know, then you're not going to get access to the live trading room. You'll miss out on the free trial. You'll have access to a set of indicators you don't know how to use. So I would highly suggest to everyone, if you're going to bother signing up for the free trial, go all the way through, sign up for the live trading room as well. Okay, there's, you know, a couple of steps. You click a couple of times. There'll be emails sent to you just to verify, because we want to make sure that you understand we don't spam anyone. You know, look in your email. There'll be twice you have to look in your email. Once for a subscription sort of thing. You click on the link, and that takes you to one last step where we can send you the link to get into the live trading room. Okay, then you click on the link to the live trading room, put in your name, and you're good to go. All right, that's it. I just wanted to go through that because Dwayne and I went through a lot of trouble this weekend to try to get everybody that had signed up kind of halfway alert to the fact that they had signed up kind of halfway. Now, moving on to the trades. Let's start with soybeans, since I have the soybeans up right here. I only took one trade on the soybeans this morning. It was a short trade. There were two possible ways to take the trade that I took. Right here, we had a pullback up to the BBC and test to the BBC with some bearish divergence. When I say bearish divergence, I mean the green line is moving away from the cycle. All right. Now, this is a four-tick range soybean chart. All the four-tick range trades are going to be the same. Everything that I show you in here on the four-tick range charts is going to be the same setup, the same set of indicators, okay? Think about that for a minute. Every single market that I'm going to look at, and I'm probably going to look at four or five of them in here, they're all using the same set of indicators and the same setup, okay? Every four-tick range chart. So they're all the same time frame, same setup, same set of indicators. We're looking for a pullback up to the BBC, expecting a bounce off of the resistance that was given by the BBC. When you pull back to the BBC like this, if you have bearish divergence, you only need a down close off of the BBC. All right. If you don't have the bearish divergence down here, then a close below the trend line would work. Okay. If the market's going to continue the trend, a close below that trend line or a break of the pullback trend, a break of the short-term trend would work. Okay. To continue in the longer-term trend. That's what that is. When it pulled back up here, it hit the BBC and it gave the down close. I tried to enter right here at 14.55 half. I did not get filled, so I waited until we got the close down here. Once we got the close down here, I did enter that trade. And when I entered, I was looking for... is this 50? Yeah, 53 and a quarter. I was looking for 53 and a quarter. By the time I realized what I was looking for, it had already gone through it, so I just got out of the trade with plus six ticks. All right. Since then, I haven't taken any more trades. There was a pullback right here, a down close right here. This only went, what did that go? Three-quarters of a point from entry to the swing low. Okay. Now, what you would have been anticipating was the swing low. At that point, you would have taken your risk off the trade, maybe gotten break-even, maybe made a tick, whatever the case. All right, over here we had a bullish cross, pull back down, test to the BBC. We didn't have the divergence to support the trade, so what would you look for? You would look for the close above the trend line, right there. All right, that made a nice move up. Okay, that's it. That was all I did on soybeans this morning. I said I was going to spend time on gold, not on the beans. But I took on the NQ, I took a couple of trades this morning on the NQ. I lost the first one, and here it was right here. All right, I went short over here on the close down below the trend, the close down below the trend line. The better trade would have been over here, okay? If I'd have gotten in over here, obviously in hindsight you can see that, but the close below the trend line over here would have been the better trade. We had bearish divergence to support the trade, but as it pulled back over here, we lost our divergence by the time we had a down close. The cycle was heading up, so you couldn't short right there. You had to wait for a close down below the trend line. We didn't get one there. We did get one over here. I did short it there, and I did get stopped out right there. Okay. Then I let the market go for a little while. I didn't take any trades in here. There were some other trades that set up. You can see them. I've outlined them. I've drawn the trend lines and all that. I did finally take another one over here. The better entry on the trade would have been right here, but I missed that, so I got in on the close down below the trend line. Now, when I say the better trade would have been right here, I mean the down close off the BBC. Okay, because we had bearish divergence at the time. That would have been the better entry. But since I didn't get that, I just waited for the close down below the trend line. I did take that. I got a little bit of profit on it. Not enough to make up the loss of the prior one. There was another trade right in here with opportunity. Now, the down close on off the BBC, we had lost the divergence. The cycle's heading up, so you wouldn't be taking that. All right, you wait for the close below the trend line over here. Okay, that's the down close below the trend line. I did take this one over here, and I got... I don't know, three or four more ticks out of this one. Okay, the down close below the trend line was right here. I shorted there. I took profit right over here. That was the NQ for me this morning. Okay, I didn't trade it a ton, but I traded it just a little bit. I lost that first trade, and I took two trades to make back most of it. Unfortunately, I didn't I didn't get it all back. Now, this is the ES Vortic range. I didn't trade the ES at all this morning. I'll point out where Dwayne had, you know, Dwayne had taken the charts for me this morning for a little bit, and I'll point out where Dwayne had suggested taking a short in just a moment here. Again, you have your bearish cross, your pullback to the BBC, but there was no way to enter this trade. You didn't have any divergence, so you get the close down below the trend line right in here. Again, four tick range, same set of indicators, same trade setup. Okay, down it goes. Again, down it goes. On this one over here, had a bullish cross, tested the BBC, up close right here. Up it goes. It didn't go very far, though. It only went about a point and a half. Over here, same thing on the downside. Again, over here on the downside. Then it retraced, and right in here, if you shorted right in here, you would have gotten stopped out on that one, and you'd be over here right now looking for a possible long entry. All right, I was not real eager to trade the ES this morning. As a matter of fact, I wasn't really eager to trade any of the indexes this morning, you know, the stock indexes, because the ES was in and around a weekly trading zone all morning. All right. When Dwayne had the charts this morning, he pointed out one trade that came through. He did it on a 2100 tick chart, but I'll just point it out here on the ES 10,000 contract. Right in here on a pullback to the BBC, on the 2100 tick, Dwayne has suggested shorting 1414 and a quarter. MIT, which would have put you in at 1414 even, it dropped 2 points down to 1412. Okay? That is what we would have been anticipating for a profit target minimum. Or that's what we would have been anticipating for a profit target. I don't mean minimum. All right, since then, it's pulled back up, tested. It's now tested the YBR inside the weekly trading zone. Again, I was saying this morning in the live trading room quite frequently, I didn't like trading the indexes because the ES was all around a weekly trading zone. Okay, let me jump over to crude oil. I did take a bunch of crude trades this morning. I don't remember if I lost any, but I do know that I won some. Yes, I did lose one. Okay. I missed a bunch of them in here, but right in here where it tried to pull back down to the BBC with the bullish divergence, it didn't actually hit the BBC, so I waited for the close above. I took the long trade right there. I took some profit up here. Okay. There was opportunity here on the downside in a number of different ways, but right there, right over there. So in here you could have shorted right in there. You could have shorted right in here. But I missed all of that, all right? And then it moved up, and I took a long trade over here on the up close above this trend line. I went long. I stopped out right here. I stopped out down here, and then we had bullish divergence and it tested the BBC with an up close. So I took the long right here, and I got all my loss that I made on this one right here, I got it back over here. So over here, I think I had profited 5 ticks. Over here, I had lost 8. And over here, I had made back 8, because I was plus 3, I think, at that point right there. There were a bunch of opportunities to trade in here. I missed them all, okay? But you can see I had drawn in some trend lines and some ellipses and lots of places in here where you could trade. I did take a trade over here. I don't know if that was my last trade on. Yeah, it was. I did take a trade over here on the crude, and it really tanked in here. You know, 89.22, it dropped. It dropped way down there. I think there must have been another trade that I took in there somewhere, too. But anyway, I did take a trade in here, and I took the short on the close down below the trend line. Okay, and I don't know if I took this one, too. I might have taken this one, too. But the same thing happened over here. You didn't have any divergence down here on the slingshot when it pulled back up and tested the BBC and gave the down close. So you're not going to short on the down close. You're going to short on the close below the trend line. Okay, right there for that little move down. Over here on the way up, there was no divergence here, okay, for the long trade. So the buy was right here on the up close. Okay, over here now, you have some divergence, but the cycle is red and headed down. So the conservative way is to wait for the up close. Okay, doesn't look like we got the up close above that trend line. All right, and that took us into the break. That was on the gold. All right, I'll show you the Russell. I think I only took one trade on the Russell. Yeah, the Russell had some nice opportunities in here as well. This one I did go over in the live trading room. Right here, this close down below the trend line after this move down. The close down below the trend line gave you about 4 or 5 ticks profit. Then it pulled back up here, tested the BBC, and gave a down close with some bearish divergence right there. Okay, if you got it there, great. If not, it closed below the trend line on the next bar, so you could have gotten in right there for that move down. All right. There was plenty of opportunity right there on the Russell. I know we had some of our partners, they were done for the day on that one right there. Now let's see, scrolling over right here, you had the trend line and the bullish divergence. Could have gotten long right there or right there on that, going right up to the weekly trading zone. Over here, I did get short over here. Pull back up, tested the BBC, and the down close with the bearish divergence. I got short right in here. I could have waited for the close down below the trend line, which would have been right here. Would have been one tick better entry. Anyway, I took 5 ticks profit as it moved down right over here. Okay. That was pretty much it on the Russell. There was some opportunity over here on the Euro, so let me show you that. Okay, we had pointed out over here, the up close over here was a spot to get long on the Euro. Okay, over here we never had the up close, so nothing there. But there was some opportunity over there on the Euro this morning as well. Now gold. I had pointed out on gold, I'm going to blow this up. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I do want this to be able to convert properly so I can put it on the website. What we look for here is, a bearish cross of the MA1 down below the BBC. The MA1 is the blue and red line right here, and the BBC is the green line. We look to have divergence on the slingshot whenever we take a bounce off the BBC and a down close. You get a bearish cross, test of the BBC, and a down close. If you have bearish divergence down here, you can take that trade right there. If you don't have the divergence, or if you don't actually hit the BBC and the trade just continues with momentum, then you got to look for the trend. All right. Now, the way that the market moves, it moves down and up and down and up and down and up. And the down legs in a downtrend are going to be longer than the up legs in a downtrend. Okay? So where we want to buy it in that pattern is right in here. You get your down leg to establish a trend. You get your short up leg, which is a pullback. Up here, it's looking for some area of resistance, which is our BBC. It hits the BBC, and it starts to go back in the direction of the trend, the longer leg. So you jump in at the top of that longer leg, anticipating a longer move down. Okay? That's what we do. We do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we do it on all the different markets using the same set of tools. Okay? That's what we do. So, right in here, the opportunity to jump in on this leg down was right here. Okay? There was an opportunity right in here, which would have been up at the top, to jump in on this leg down. Okay, this one moved back up. So when it moves back up again, you're looking for your opportunity to jump in on the downside again, which would have been right here, this down close right here. Now, these are a couple of trades that I took this morning. I don't know where this arrow came from, but I think it goes right in there. All right, I took the down close below the trend line over here, because I missed this one. I took the one down below the trend line. I got some profit there. Came back up, tested that again, and moved down again. I took some more profit on that. All right. Now, eventually, those legs are going to change, and the leg up is going to be longer than the leg down. That's when the trend starts to change. And, in the live trading room, we alert you to these things. That's why you're in the live trading room, so that we can help you out seeing these patterns and when the market starts to change direction. Okay? Now, that's all using our indicator set. We do it based on our BBC, our MA1, where the weekly trading zones are, what the slingshot's telling us, and we can use price action. We can and do use price action quite often to determine, the range of the trade, things like that. All right? That's it. That's what we do. Again, if you guys have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. I'll go over the results again one more time since a lot more people came in here since the start. Let's start with the soybeans. The soybeans, we were +6. Crude oil, I'm sorry, Russell, we were +5. Gold, +7. Crude, +24. And the NQ, we were -2 ticks. Okay, that was our morning. www.cfrn.net/apply. If you go that far and put your name and not your name and password, but your name and email address in there, when you get the other emails in there, just click on the links that are in the email so that you can get into the live trading room. Okay? That is a wrap. All right. Nobody's typed any questions? Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay. If that does it for the questions, then let's go visit with David Williams from Page Trader and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Don't touch your radio dial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Robin, as well. Good morning, Robin. Indeed. Hey, good morning, Michael.
Good morning. It's a good day in Las Vegas after the Rock and Roll Marathon. Good morning, Michael and Mike. Oh, Michael's not there. And David and Dwayne.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Robin.
We rocked and rolled like crazy yesterday.
You did?
We did a water station for 45,000 people.
Wow.
It was an amazing event.
Was it the P.F. Chang Rock and Roll Marathon?
It's the Zappos. Rock and Roll Marathon that they did a regular marathon and a half marathon, and they had so many extra people because a lot of people from New York City, and they canceled the marathon there. They gave them a discount to sign up for Las Vegas, so we had a lot of other unexpected people. And we were nonstop from 12 to 8:30, nonstop. It was amazing. It was just amazing. And the people were just amazing. I had a woman run by me, and I said, "You're doing a great job." She says, "I'm 73.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's amazing.
It was incredible. And all different costumes. And we had a bunch of Elvises. It was really amazing.
The big-name bands at all or just local talent?
Well, see, we were at the water station, so I don't know. At the end, if there was something there, or, you know, they had stuff all along the route.
Yeah, all along the way, usually have stages set up.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were in just one specific spot, not far from Fremont Street, and it was really, really amazing. And it was very warm, but we had wind, so it was warmer than normal. We just have had really normal weather, but it was a little windy, and the cups were flying all over the place, and it was an amazing event. It was the first time I've ever done a water station.
Was that part of the Red Rock and Rescue? Red Rock Rescue?
Yeah, we had we had 20 of us on the team in manning water stations number 2 and 5 and the medical tent. So we were pretty well covered. 20 people in each station. So it was good.
Well, somebody has to get out there and do that.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. No, that's great, Robin. That's a really that's really cool that you do that. And not everybody would do that. You know, not everybody would find that to be something they want to volunteer for. I know, and you're very busy in other work and other areas of your life, and you spend the time to do that. You know, props to you for that.
What did you do with your weekend, David?
Oh, well, let's see. You know, just I relaxed. I got ready for this week because big things are coming up in markets. But I didn't do a whole lot. I spent just a relaxing weekend and just in preparation of, you know, finishing up the year. We're only a couple of weeks away from the end of the year. Is it amazing to you or to anybody else? It seems amazing to me that here we are in December. I can remember the individual months of this year pretty well, but the fact that they zipped by as fast as they did surprise me, and that the fact is we're ending the year 2012 seems surprising to me. Surprising to anyone else?
You know, the election, it just felt like it was dragging and dragging and dragging, I think, and then it all of a sudden it zipped. Mm-hmm. You know, once the election hit, it was like zip.
Yeah, there was a drag to that, I agree. Hearing people be negative all the time wears on you, you know,
yeah.
the negative back and forth and whatnot. So, but anyway, so yeah, the end of the year is here. We've got another 2 weeks. We want to try to take advantage of the best as we can because, you know, we'll be, even though we're not going to be here for probably the last 8 days of the year because the markets get slow and people need their time off. And part of me feels bad also to try to drag people away from whatever their families are doing to be sitting in front of the monitor all year long. I don't want to
absolutely
do that to people either. So, we used to do it all, you know, for many, many years. We used to just trade every single day, but I've really found that there's, you know, there's a wise way to use your time and energy. Mm-hmm. It's when markets are really moving. If there's a known period of time where markets are going to be quiet, if quiet markets are your thing, that's fine. That would be a good time for you to trade. But if you're looking for the moves that, you know, if you happen to be somebody that's looking for larger or more volatility, that type of thing, then, you know, take some time off because you get this one round in this life, and you work in an efficient way. You know, you don't have to be, it's not about grinding yourself and sharpening the pencil until there's no pencil left. You know, that's not the purpose of this. And there is a lot to be said about having a fresh mind to this. In other words, getting away from it, coming back. And to me, the repetitiveness of doing this every day, it keeps it in your mind. And if I'm gone for 8 or 10 days, it really does take a day or so to get it all back in, you know, because you're holding a lot of information in your head that you may not, you know, you don't necessarily have to be conscious of it moment by moment, but it is there. And taking a break cleans it out and very often will allow you to have some new ideas. When you re-arrive, you're not just looking at everything with the same exact habitual way you might have been looking at it just 8 days ago. And that can be helpful as well. If you're a person that's looking for, you know, a way to, you know, any new thing, any new ideas in the market, what to do. The market's always changing, but it's also always the same in certain regards. And so you're always looking for something that is basic to the market that you can kind of rely on so that you can trade with that. And then once you find something like that, then you want to go find multiple ways to put that thing to use and, you know, back and forth. So this is the last 2 weeks of the year, so we're getting ready for this. We are going to be trading. We're trying to get positioned, or we're going to either get positioned now or a little bit later for the move in crude that we've been talking about. And we're hoping to, you know, there's a few other moves that we'll talk about as we get through, you know, today's session here. So a couple big things. I think the just last thing I want to say real quick, and then we can get onto whatever you want, Dwayne. I believe that there is going to be big, important news. There's a lot of things coming together into early next year. And so something apparently is going to, there's going to be news that's associated with all of that. And that's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm thinking the start of the year, the early part of the year, first quarter, is going to have a lot of powerful indications in it. And I know that comes right after the Mayan calendar date and so on, but I'm not really sure that that's directly connected to it. This is something that is its own thing, and we'll deal with the Mayan, the end of the of all life, you know, at the time. So anyway,
this thing in Israel is heating up pretty good again.
It is
more so than ever.
Yeah, Britain's, you sometimes scratch your head about France that and wonder why
out.
People can't just, you know, why does it have to be all hate? It's like a radio station that plays the hits, all hate all the time. Go ahead, Dwayne.
No, I said Britain and France are pulling their ambassadors out. Things are are really taking a turn more so than ever. And the reason it continues and will continue, I mean, it's, we talk about things being of biblical proportions, but this is biblical. It was written. It has been going on since the garden, and it will go on until the end of time. Now, the best we can hope for along the way is intermittent periods of peace, and that's the best we can hope for.
So, yeah.
And that's the best we've seen.
Well, I'm personally, my biggest fear is Iran. So I'm just saying, Iran is hard at work, and I'm sorry to say this, but my belief is that they're going to achieve a nuclear weapon. And that is not a good state of affairs. I don't know how it's going to play out, but it's really not going to be very good unless somebody stops them soon. I don't know what we're waiting for. I realize there's more complexity to the situation, that once you get into office, you learn all these things about, you know, that you didn't know before you got in there, and that makes your decision-making change and so on. There's a lot of pieces in play, but, you know, a nuclear-armed Iran is, I think, a very dangerous thing for the United States of America. So I think anybody would agree with that. What I'm wondering about is why we haven't done anything specific other than sanctions, which have not worked. I mean, do we want to just keep doing things that don't work? Here's something. Try this. Well, that didn't work. Well, let's do more of that. And
well,
it still didn't work.
There's arguments that the sanctions are working, that we are slowly but surely starving them out and collapsing their economy.
Well, to what final end?
Well, eventually, you know, the people become so hungry and so ticked off that they rise up in the streets and overthrow the government.
Okay.
Much like the Arab Spring.
I hope we have that time for all this to take place. I mean, these guys have 30,000 centrifuges spinning away. You don't need that many centrifuges unless you're going to be refining that stuff all the way down to, you know, weapons grade.
I mean, I agree that we should have taken more aggressive measures long ago. I'm just saying there are those who support the sanctions would argue that the sanctions are having the very effects that they were intended. But will that be enough, fast enough? I don't know.
Right. That's what worries me. And you know, it would be amazing if that did happen, because we're seeing that again in Egypt now, and we've seen it. These dictators get toppled. Or, you know, they have their run, and they finally, their time is up, and they get toppled. We're seeing that again, and that would be an amazing thing if that happens in Iran. I just hope that the people aren't so starved that they don't have it in them to do the overthrowing. And it does seem like year after year after year has gone by with our knowledge that they're building these things. We have satellite pictures. How close do we want to let it get to before, you know, I don't know. It seems like a strategy that time is running out for that strategy. The strategy of, you know, hoping that the people rise up and take out the government. So
it's very sad. It's just very sad that people have to live every day under the cloak of that warfare. I mean, it's just, how do you raise your kids? You know, we try to carry on normal life and have our own challenges, but then to live under the fact that your house is going to get bombed, it really is horrible. It really is horrible.
Well, on that positive note, Dwayne, anything you'd like to add?
No, let's go ahead and get into the markets.
Yeah, let's take a quick look around. Okay. You'd like to start with the S&P?
Sure.
We'll take a quick run around with that. The S&P today has moved a little bit higher. As we all know, we've been in a nice advance off of the bottom that was made on November 16th. Really an interesting run that they've had up here. We've reached the 1423 to 25 level, which is an important level, at least in our panel and so on. And we've reacted. I think the Globex high was 24, but the pit session high was slightly lower than that. And they're still reacting off that level here. So a daily close today, a better close or a weaker close would be below 1420, but even anything below 1425 is still indicative of a reversal and potential lower prices, at least short term, in the S&P. We've had a really powerful advance. There's no joke. This has been a very big move up, and we'll see how the remainder of the day finishes out here. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some pullback from these levels, continued pullback further than what we've seen so far. And there's going to be some decent day trading. Even the market's pretty quiet, but I think some decent day trading in here for those of you who are interested in some shorter term stuff, even though the market's pretty quiet here and all that. We also have some pretty important indications into later December, which is around Christmas time and so on. So, we may put something out. There may be a roadmap actually to put out with regard to that. But my preference at this point would be to see a pullback that takes us to the 1402 or 14, so roughly speaking, 1403 to 1400 level. That's not a forecast for that, but that's a preference that if I did see that, I would like that, and I could do something with that. I could either do something on the way to that number if I have something that puts us in that direction, but I certainly could do something with that once they get there. So that'd be something that I'd be interested in talking about a little later in the week when we see what the market's intentions are here. Let me flip around real quick on the daily and some of these charts and just see if there's anything else that I can throw at this right now. I'm looking for the time being, nothing else really big on the S&P. It's just that I think we're probably due for this is just a generalized thing. There's probably going to be sideways to pull back coming here. And so I think trading on the short side, nothing wrong with taking some trades on the short side here. Today starts the new month. Today is the first day of the month of December. So should be interesting to see how that plays out. But, if we do get the pullback, I might be tending to buy. And remember, we talked about the month of December, that the decline that we had starting from all the way back in September, we were forecasting it would go into the December time frame. It did come in 1 month early in November, and that has to be considered bullish. So the market closed pretty good. Remember, we talked about the market closing the month above 1357 would be bullish, and we closed far above 1357. Closing the month at 1450. So we're in pretty good shape. But I think the short term off the daily charts, we have a few days of sideways to lower here, is likely. And we can start looking to set up trades on the short side for taking advantage of that. Then once that's in, if we do get anything like 1402 or lower, I actually like the idea of buying and being long, at least for some period of time, for December. I think there's a bullish quality here that we could take advantage of. But we'll talk about this as we get a little closer. Right now we're just reacting off of an important 1423 to 1425 level. So that's pretty much everything we have on the S&P right now. I may have something a little bit later as we go through some other markets, but right now that's about all I've really got.
Okay.
We can zip on through if you want to take a look at the gold market. This is the same gold that's in many of your teeth. It's very valuable. It's up at $1,720. They still put gold in teeth now? Are they still doing that?
Yeah,
I think if you specially request it, I think they will.
Okay. Special request for gold?
It's not good for you. I mean, I'm trying to get the gold out of my teeth.
Yeah, why would you want gold in your mouth? I'm not sure why they...
Well, it's very durable as far as a surface for your teeth. It's very durable. The clear stuff breaks down over time, and silver breaks down also. So as far as durability of what they had available, that was the best.
Okay.
And if you go to the dentist to get your gold out, take it with you. Get it back.
Yeah.
It's worth something.
Our bigger forecast for gold was for continued advance into January. And our target on the upside, this was during last month, we had said that you could buy gold in anywhere from 1680 up to 1700 for an advance
up to at or near 1760 to 61. They got up to 1755, about 6 points, 5 points prior to that, and then they sold off. We ended up getting out, and we issued an exit for everybody at 1750. So whatever that was worth to people, wherever they got in. However, having said that, I do expect a retest of 1760 to 61 prior to January. And because of the time involved, I think there's a possibility of substantially higher prices. So that's our longer-term outlook on gold, is we're still looking for higher prices into January. So I think that's everything. Do you have anything you want to add on that, Dwayne or Robin?
No, not a thing.
Okay. You have gold in your teeth or no?
No, I don't.
Okay, just checking.
No, the reason people have gold in their teeth, it's a fashion statement.
Oh, okay.
Period.
That's probably true. Like wristwatches nowadays. Mm-hmm. Why would anybody have a wristwatch? Because it's a lot of real estate for just one thing. It just tells you the time.
A lot of people still wear them, though.
I know. A lot of people wear them. They look really nice. They're, it's a beautiful, you know, accessory, et cetera. I have never really worn a watch, and I use my phone for the time. But recently I've started looking, for whatever reason, I've started looking at people's watches more and just looking at them and just seeing if it's something that catches my eye or not, because it never really has been. And I have a friend who is a watch collector. He's got nothing better to do with his time, I guess, than to collect expensive watches. So that's one of the hobbies that you get when, you know, life went your way really a lot. And you've got nothing really better to do, and then you find hobbies like collecting expensive watches and wearing one on each wrist or something like that. I don't know. I'm just playing around. Gatsby's? It's like the Gatsby's. Remember the Gatsby, the movie? They were so rich, they just didn't know what to do with their time.
Right.
They just had so much time, so much. I mean, they just wore themselves out doing nothing. All right. Let's see. Let's move on. I don't have a lot to add on Facebook. Facebook's having a little bit of a down decline here. The bonds as well, U.S. Treasury bonds. Nothing big on that except our usual caveat to take advantage and take care of whatever you need to take care of now during this period of time where you can get cheap interest, you know, cheap money, cheap interest rates, all the stuff we talked about last week. You can negotiate with your bank and so on. Don't let that fling by you, because it goes away and then you'll be sorry that you missed it. And it's these situations take long periods of time to get into this position that we're in right now. The euro, we had several weeks back, we had forecast that the week of November 12th would mark a bottom in the euro, and that people could buy the euro from anywhere from 1265 up higher, and the week ended up closing at 120. I'm sorry, let me get those numbers straight again. 126, 45, and higher. The market ultimately got down to 126.65. So on the close of the week, it closed at 127.46. So the forecast was for the market to run basically from 126.45. all the way up to 130.65. That's 400 pips. That's a pretty good little clip. They moved up there, and they completed that move today. This was a multi-week advance that was forecast. This is a roadmap, and the market completed that this morning, and they're trading right now at 130.60. So we're watching the market sit at that number right now. You know, it's funny, at the end, Bert was joking with me this morning, Bert Schlichter from Daniel's Trading, because a lot of times people, once one of these roadmaps completes, you know, it's for the whole move, it's 5,000 per contract. Maybe you could have gotten half of that or maybe a little better than that. But the fact is that in many cases, once these complete, the very first phone call we get from people, I can always tell the people that are not in the trade. Because once they see it complete, we get a whole bunch of phone calls, and people always say, what's it going to do now? That's their next question, is what is it going to do right now? Well, we're going to take a little breather right now. First of all, we don't have any forecast immediately for it, and we want to give it some time to show its hand at these levels, you know, this particular forecast. So if you didn't take advantage of this, there'll be more. The euro is a very popular, very good trading, and very forecastable market. So we'll have more out on this. But this was a beautiful example of a roadmap. And we have, if you want to see the roadmaps, you can come to pagetrader.com. You can sign up for either a free trial or take a full month of it at a discounted price and check out the roadmaps for yourself. We just came out today. I would have liked to have put it out last week when we had it, but I'm more conservative than maybe is good for me in some cases, but I'm still in the game, and we still really do trade. I mean, it's no joke. We trade thousands and thousands and thousands of shares of stock, contracts, ETFs each year. And, you know, in doing this for real, you end up in one or two ways. You end up either wanting to be aggressive because you found that works for you, or you're somewhere between aggressive and conservative. And I'm pretty conservative. I actually probably fall somewhere in the conservative category in terms of traders. And what I found is that sometimes that does me a lot of good because it keeps me out of a move that I might have already been in and had to suffer through. And then often it also means that I'm not going to be in a move, or I'm going to have to get in later than sometimes people like. And that's where I learned, you hear me talk about this a lot, that's where I learned by experience that because of my conservative nature, I learned by experience that you can get into a move quite a bit later than it started and actually still have a really good trade. And a lot of people are uncomfortable doing that. If you take a look at the euro trade, you'll see there was many places to get in this trade, one of which we forecast on the radio. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I'll tell you in a moment here, if you give me a minute, it was that if the market got down to 128.93 to 128.90 and closed above that, you could buy in again there. That was an area that we had issued that if you were long, any closes below that area would stop you out, and that also made that area buying territory for the continued advance. So the market did get down to that area, got down to 128.81, about 10 ticks below that, and then firmed up and closed above it. So that was a good example of a place in the middle of the trade where you could get in and from 128.81 still be take some advantage of the move up to 130.65. So, you know, whatever your nature is, whether you're conservative or whether you're aggressive, you just have to learn how to deal with your own nature in the market. That's all. You know, some people that have been really aggressive for long periods of time later find out that being a little less aggressive is good for them. They relax, they sleep better, they trade better. Some people just work the other way. Some people sleep like a baby being really aggressive, and some are very good that way. But for me, I personally would rather take less trades. This is just my particular thing. I'd rather take less trades than more, and try to be, you know, for me, it makes me feel good, because some people can do the, you know, I'm only right 3 times out of 10, and on those 3 times I do really well. That's difficult for me to be wrong 7 times, to be right 3 times, even though it works in the end. You might have a really good run on some of those 3 trades, and it's beautiful. But it is hard to go through those other trades. So I'm usually trying to set up the trade, see it confirm, and the longer you wait in confirmation, the less profit there's left. And then, you know, you have to decide where you want to get in. But that does work for me. I've suggested it many times on the program, and, you know, I'm just suggesting it again, that there's plenty of places to get into a trade if you have a known place where it's going to, and so on. Okay, so let's see. British pound's up today as well. We don't have anything on that. And crude oil had rallied a bit today and then sold off, and they're trading right now at $89. This is the January contract, $89.29. Don't have anything immediately on the short term for that. Let's see if there's anything else here. The Australian dollar, we've talked about that. We're going to keep an eye on that. That has to do with the, let me see if I can talk about this again. We were talking originally about this is a very tradable market. I think Octavio had mentioned this to us.
Mm-hmm.
And Octavio had said that he was looking at this, and I think he was already biased on the short side at the time. And we just threw in that 104.65 to 104.70 was important to us, and that is long. In fact, I would even say at this point, if a person had taken or is going, either are going to take or had taken the idea for a short entry off of this, that I wouldn't want to see any daily close above 104.85. So as long as we're below 104.85 short term, we'll move that down a little bit later. But that would be the place that I would want to utilize for stop purposes right now. So there's a possibility of a larger decline here, but they've done nothing wrong. We're talking about the Australian dollar now. They've done nothing wrong at all. So this is just a normal pullback right now against a known resistance level. So keep that in mind. If there were a further test of 104.60, let me get the real number here. If there was a further test on the upside of 104.60 or slightly higher, I would want you to watch that. And if they have failure there, you could enter on any number of ways, but that would be a number that I would want to take at or near that number, take some action at, if they have any early sign of failure at or around that level. So we'll continue to talk about this during the week, Dwayne, because this one's kind of right there. We're sitting and watching it. And then let's see, if there's anything else. Tesla, excuse me, Tesla's moving higher. We don't have anything to add on that, except I'm glad to see the stock going up. We don't own it. We're not in Tesla right now, but we sure like it and the product and everything else. I've got a couple other quick ones I'll look at, Dwayne.
Okay.
We'll take a quick see if there's anything else of interest. You know, the dollar and the euro move pretty counter to each other, so the dollar is moving down. I'm a little concerned. A lot of people have said this, and I'm going to say it as well. I'm a little concerned about the U.S. dollar. I'm not sure how it all works fundamentally, but it does concern me that there are some indications for much, much higher prices longer term on the euro. And we'll put that out when we have it in the actuality, you know, in the form of a roadmap or whatnot. But you know, if the U.S. dollar really is going to go down as much as the euro is going to go up, that can't be good for America, can it? I mean, is there any scenario where a really, really low dollar is really good for America? Dwayne, you know anything?
Yeah, there's an economic argument where, I mean, of course, you want your team to win and you want America to have a strong dollar, but there's some economic deal where it's good for trade when the American dollar gets weak. I don't know.
Okay.
It's beyond me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All I know is when I go to the grocery store, it costs more for, you know, a loaf of bread and a dozen eggs and these kinds of things. It takes more of those dollars to buy those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. We've been watching also, this is something that we're just watching, which is natural gas. And this is a market that really does move. This might be one of the biggest moving markets we have going right now. These guys really, you know, they really zip this thing up and down. It's probably something that you want to watch for a while to get a handle on and so on. But I do want to say that if we close today above $3.59. We're trading at 360 now, 360 a little bit up. This is the March contract. That is a more bullish position, and I would expect a multi-day advance off of this market. So you might keep an eye on that. I wouldn't suggest this market for people that are new to trading. Honestly, right now I think it would be wiser for you to trade in somewhat less volatility than that market is offering. Let's see if there's anything else here. I think that's it, Dwayne. I mean, we zipped through it pretty good here. We've got the, you know, earlier today, Messenger Pro bought the market down at 14.12. We had a nice little bounce up to 14.16. We got out at 14.15 and some change on the aggressive. We're back down at those levels now. So the idea that there's at least intermediate top of some kind in the S&P in right now is slowly being further confirmed by today's motion. And I wouldn't be surprised to see lower prices, like we said, over the next day or so here. and that's what we're going to watch for and possibly take advantage of. The bigger picture for us on the S&P is that it still is bullish longer term. That allows for all kinds of movement. That's a very general outlook. But they haven't done anything wrong at all here. You know, the decline, the bottom into November and all that, everything has been really, really normal behavior here. For those of you who are seasonal traders who like to look at the seasonality of the market, which has, you know, plays its own part in the market, I don't know that you can time the market real, real good with seasonality. And there have been some methods that have tried to treat that idea. I think it's probably there's better methodologies than seasonal to time the market. Seasonal is not a bad backdrop. But I don't know if this is – maybe somebody can tell us for a change what it is. But is the market seasonally bullish into Christmas?
It is. It's called a Santa Claus rally.
Santa Claus rally.
Yep.
Okay. So that would mean that if we do get a pullback from this top, and this is what I was leading to, that – then we would be interested, especially if we get down to some of the levels we talked about, 02 or lower, that would probably be a good setup for the Santa Claus rally. So we can all then take advantage of seasonal trading and be right up there with the big boys.
There's a question on soda. SodaStream.
On soda. I stopped drinking that years ago.
Yeah,
thanks for asking. What's the – is it S-O-D-A or
mm-hmm. – It is.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just a question. If we talked about it a couple days ago, and
yep.
JM wants to know if you have anything else on it.
Did I give you an indication on it for...
I don't think
no.
so.
What? No. But you said no. You were going to look it up.
Okay. I must have... I still do have it somewhere then, because I'm sure I saved it. If you'd give me just a moment.
Because it hit. It was the first time it took the first move, like $3 and something, had a little pullback the next day, about 90 cents, and then now it's up again, I think.
Okay. Give me just a minute here.
Okay.
I hope I didn't tell you that I was saving it and didn't save it. That wouldn't look good, but let me... No, that's under armor. Okay.
We haven't talked about that one for a while.
There's a few things with that stock as well that's happening.
Yeah, we're
let's see. Give me a second.
Because we're going into Christmas, and Christmas is, should be a big boost for them for gifts and.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking here, Dwayne, and I don't see, and I apologize, I thought I had it, and maybe I just put it up and didn't save the page. There's Green Mountain Coffee. Okay, well, let me see if I can take a look at it right now one more time. I mean, if we have the time here.
Yeah.
We've kind of zipped through here. What we're looking for in soda, now this is usable, but it's not something that I can, I would put out necessarily as an actual trade. But what I like the idea of is that the stock is likely going to make a top into the week of December 10th. So it's been rallying up here, and the on-time week for a top would be December 10th in soda. This is SodaStream International. Mm-hmm. These are the people that make the product that you see on TV where all the kids are gathering around. Oh, that tastes just like 7-Up.
Right.
This tastes like pool chlorine. That sort of thing. Okay. So... they're running up, and there's some decent levels up here that they've already reached, but I would let them go a little bit further into the week before I'd want to take advantage of any short position. I'll tell you this. Give me till tomorrow. I am saving the page now, and then we will – so if a person had been long, I don't mind you staying long, but I'm starting to want the trend to continue to look like a trend every day of the week here. And as soon as it starts to stop that, I want to start moving stops up. So to important levels. I don't know if a person's asking the question because they're long or because they want to get short.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I do want to let the market continue this week on the upside. This is the 1 week early period for this. And that's an important period in a market that has been bearish. So this is what I consider to be a bounce inside, roughly speaking, a long-term downtrend. So I am very conscious of the 1 week early period that we're in right now. So I'd want you to be conscious of that as well. And then I am saving that chart right now. And today I will put some work together on that and see if we can do something and maybe come up with, maybe even a roadmap or two or something that we can do with this. The stocks that I like for roadmaps are mid-price to higher price stocks. They're harder for people to participate in because they cost more and it, you know, and so on, but they do move more. And they have bigger volatility, the higher price stocks do. So
can you define mid-price?
Yeah, mid-price would be middle, like 50s, you know, between $40 to $60 would be a mid-price. And then a high-price stock for me starts to be just about anything over maybe $100. You know, we've been in stocks much higher than that, but, you know, a stock at $100 moves pretty good. You start getting much, much better movement. The swings are bigger and so on. If you can't purchase the stock individually, you can always do options. And for that, you could talk to Bert Schlichter, Daniel's Trading. He's very good at this stuff. He'll be able to help you put together an options strategy so that you don't have to buy the stock. You can buy options and take advantage of some of these setups and moves. Are you in something along the lines here, Robin?
This is the one I've been watching. Because I haven't traded stock for quite a while, so I'm just paper trading it, and I started paper trading at 36.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I felt, you know, and I believe because of the information that I had read on it, that it was a very strong stock, especially going into Christmas, and a very good strong stock overseas. So
I had never heard of this company. I did see the commercials on TV. Dwayne, did you know about this company prior to the TV commercials, or had you been following any of this?
Some of the geeks, the tech people, the people that understand Get and all these other things, they have been big SodaStream fans for a while. In the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, coffee was their big thing, hence Java.
Okay.
They still drink their fair share of coffee and eat a fair share of pizza, but the SodaStream has become their new darling, not as an investment, but as a way of making their own sodas in the house. because they can customize the amount of carbonation that is in the drink. And apparently many of them like a lot of carbonation.
Of carbonation, yeah.
Really?
I guess so they can belch really loud or something at each other across their World of War console, you know. I don't know.
Go ahead.
That was just going to say, that was the first I ever heard of it, was when these guys were just raving about the SodaStream and how awesome it was. And I'm like, really? Make your own sodas at home? That sounds a tad old-fashioned, but apparently, and this company's been around for a while, but it's catching on.
What I was going to say is it's almost a paradigm shift, because who's ever been able to attack the soda companies? You know, they would always attack it with a recipe versus a technology. And this has attacked, you know, Coke and Pepsi and everything out there with a technology. So it's a paradigm shift in the way people do business. Plus, it's greener because you're not using as many soda cans and bottles and all that. So it's greener. So it kind of fits into, you know, the longevity. It's like, you know, when I used the analogy last time when I had the first laptop and was schlepping that around the World Trade Center floor to floor, carrying it for 25 pounds and trying to get people to get this concept. Now everything is a laptop. You don't want a regular computer. So it's a paradigm shift in this technology, I think, that just globally has more impact overseas than here, and is doing better overseas than here. So I think it's newer here, and, you know, they're so more earth conscious and green conscious over in Europe than we are here. They put rules in place very quickly to, you know, reduce trash and all that. So they start to pick it up in China and some of these in India and things like that, I think this thing could really explode. And they're doing well. I mean, it just had this big off the bottom kind of thing.
They did. I'm looking at that right now, and they did have a very nice reversal. And we'll keep an eye on this ourselves. We'll talk about it a little bit more.
I'd love it to see to get through like 42. I'd be really happy through 42. Mm-hmm. But it's been, you know, we had that big move up, and they had a little pullback of about 90 cents, and then now it's, you know, heading up again. So, you know, again, it's just my opinion. This, I'm not an analyst. I'm not a, you know, I'm not, I try to go the Buffett way of what do people like to buy? Mm-hmm. You know, what are people in need of? And this just seems like a perfect thing for parents that they control their soda, can control the soda with the kids. And, you know, it just seems like the a new thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. It looks really good. Well, Dwayne, I think that for us, that's everything we've got. We do really have a pretty quiet day here again. We've had a little bit of movement in the S&P, but that's really all we have. I don't know if there's anything interesting in the news. Probably not. Otherwise, we'd have a little bit more activity in the market.
Yeah, no, I scanned the headlines today, and other than the stuff that's happening in Israel, Netanyahu decided last week that he's going to build on that piece of land that has been so hotly contested.
Mm-hmm.
And Britain and France are very upset. They're going to pack up and go home, pull in their ambassadors.
Yeah.
Or at least threatening to. I don't know if they have pulled them as of yet. And while the United States did not support Palestine becoming an observer member of the UN, the United States also did not support Netanyahu, or Yahoo, whatever, that guy.
Yahoo!
Should start building on this piece of land while it's almost as if the way they view it is he wants to pick a fight.
So Netanyahu wants to be in a fight.
Well, that's how the diplomats are viewing it. I don't know that that's necessarily true. That's the justification that they're using for pulling their guys out of there.
Well, maybe the news and the import of what's going to happen in early next year, because there's quite a bit going on for that, might, as you said, may certainly circle and have something to do with all of what's going on in the Middle East. You know, it could be very well that could be the case. So, did you want to say something, Robin? Or
I had a question on that's on this the fiscal cliff thing. It says, you know, it keeps popping up on CNBC, you've got 28 days left. Does that fall like the middle of January when all the new politicians take their place? Is that what that date comes to?
No, the fiscal cliff, as I understand it, is when, I mean, the actual meaning of it is that there's an agreement in place, and if that agreement doesn't get complete, if we don't do
midnight,
come
December
to an agreement.
31st.
Yeah, if we don't come to an agreement.
The which?
Midnight, December 31st. That's 28
days. Oh, because
days
it says 28. Oh, 28
days. There's 31
days,
so
okay,
in December. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if they don't come to an agreement, then we're going to revert back to a prefixed set of conditions that everyone's going to have to live by. From what I've seen, there's some people that are saying that's acceptable, rather than continuing to spend and so on. I just honestly, it's very difficult to believe that these people can come to an agreement about anything. We'll see.
The truth. That's the truth.
There was a fellow on TV this morning talking about Groupon, and we've talked about how its business model might not be the best in the world, but this fellow, I don't know who he was. I had the volume turned down. I just saw the headline scrolling. He was calling it a horrible scam and a flawed business model. He was very, very upset over this whole thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe he bought it way up here or something. Maybe that's why he's upset. I don't know. But it's had a very nice bounce, so I'm not sure why he suddenly. Maybe it's just good theater.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he may just believe that. Maybe he just believes that it's, you know, for the same reasons we talked about, that it just doesn't really work for one reason or another.
I don't know that it qualifies to be called a scam. I mean,
no, probably not.
Because people said, hey, this is the deal. And so, you know, on the drawing board, it looked great. But a few months after the fact, people began to see, okay, there's a flaw here. And there's nothing, there's been nothing done to fix the flaw. And I've thought about it, and I don't know what they could do to fix it, because they, in order for them to create revenue, they have to always be chasing new business. Now, I suppose they could do some kind of geographical thing that says, if you sign on with us, we'll let you be the only steakhouse in a specific zip code or area, you know, slice and dice territories. But I don't even know that that would work, because then the guy would have steak once in his zip code, and then he would have Chinese food in his zip code, and then he would have French food in his zip code, and then he'd have Southern food. I don't know. So, yeah, it's a flawed business model. I don't think anybody set out to scam anybody. In fact, that company grew at a more rapid pace than any company in history. And then they went and IPO'd, and that was when they kind of shot themselves in the foot, and they've been tanking ever since. It was incredible exponential growth, adding value, adding revenue, adding employees at a breakneck pace right up until the IPO, and then it all fell apart.
Yeah, if you want to pop the balloons at the party, just have an IPO anymore.
You know? So it seems.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, Dwayne, I think that's everything that I have for today. Pleasure to be on the show. We'll probably have more tomorrow. I hope the markets are a little more busy tomorrow. We're real quiet here. We do have for those of you that are interested, we have a webinar tomorrow on reflective wave on our turning point methodology. You're welcome to come to it. I'll remind you about it tomorrow. I'll give you the link and all that. And, Dwayne, I think that's everything we've got, and we'll scoot along. I'll plan on being here tomorrow, hopefully with a little bit more busy markets.
All right, David, sounds good. Robin, anything you want to add as we wrap it up here?
Little quotes?
Quotes. Hold on. Yeah, we could find a quote here. Oh, here's a good topic. Don't worry about things you can't control. A wise man cares not for what he cannot have. And there's only one corner of the universe you can be certain of improving, and that's your own self.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Who said that?
That was done by Huxley.
Oh, okay.
Aldous Huxley.
Aldous Huxley.
And I have no clue who he is.
He's a famous author. Yeah, of course you do.
I did want to share one experience that I had this weekend, and I don't mean to be picking on me, but I had this really wild experience on Saturday. It was volunteer weekend. I was a FEMA victim for a dog search. And they took us out into the desert way out in North Las Vegas, where they tear down the casinos and they pile up all the old cement with those bars through it, the support bars that they put in the cement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they take this cement and they eventually break it down so that they can use it again. Well, they have all this stuff piled up in these big slabs of you know, maybe a foot and a half thick concrete piled up all over. And so the FEMA guys put, first of all, the first group in this rubble underneath, and then they block you in. And so you feel like you're trapped. And it was like the most amazing experience. And then they set the dogs out. And the dogs, interestingly enough, if anybody's like just standing around and watching, they won't go near you. They'll sniff you and walk by you, but they don't go after you, because they're looking for people who are alive but are lying down. And even one of the girls was sitting down and just kind of sitting up, and he walked right by her. But you have to be lying down. So they put you into these cavities under this rubble, and you have to wait for the dog to come. They give you a couple of these sticks that are the reward sticks. and they're specially designed. And what happens is the dog searches, smells out, and they put the dog in the direction of the wind coming at them so they can pick up the scent quickly. So where they position them. So it's the handler as well as the dog that works these piles of rubble. So it would be like, you know, if you did 9/11, it would be like the same kind of atmosphere. And so the dogs go sniffing around this whole rubble, and then they stick their nose into where you are, and you see the dog's nose come in, and then he barks. He has to bark 6 times before you give him the stick, and you have to stick the stick out of the hole because you're totally buried. And you stick the stick out of the hole, and the dog gets the stick, and he's all thrilled and happy. And they had 5 dogs. We had 8 of us. We got two groups got buried. I was in the second group to get buried, and it was the most fascinating thing I've ever seen, how they work with these dogs. Some of these dogs are worth over like $30,000-$40,000 because they're so incredibly trained. And the way they work on this rubble is just incredible. I mean, they will walk up and down and up and down and sometimes almost try to almost fall. And they just work this rubble to find this missing person. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever been through. Not as much to be a victim and feel like, I mean, just a little bit feel like what it must be like to be under that rubble and be stuck and hurt. You know, here I was okay, and I was like, please don't forget me. Get me out of here. It was pretty scary, but it was really amazing to watch these dogs and handlers work. These guys put hours and hours and hours into these animals. And, you know, you really take it for granted when you look on the news and you see this come up. You said, oh, you see the dog searching around, and he gets a two-second video of him searching or finding somebody. And the amount of work that goes into these animals is just phenomenal. So, you know, when you see a search and rescue kind of a episode, know that there was a lot of training behind that, and you can really appreciate them. So that was my Saturday. So it was a real volunteer.
You do lead an interesting life. You truly do.
Well, I put myself out there. That's for sure. I mean, life is to be experienced.
Yeah.
And
I think that's great.
You know, there's so many things out there that I was with this 18-year-old kid on the waterline, and he was really upset, and he was pissed off that he was standing there handing water to everybody and getting wet. And I was like, you know, lighten up. And he was like 18 years old. He says, I don't want to be here. I don't like this stuff.
Why was he doing it? Wasn't it a volunteer thing?
No, they were paid. There was a group of guys that came from this one agency that were paid. I said, you're getting paid. I'm doing this for nothing, I said. You know, so just to see the attitude, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to give you a hint. I said, work as hard as you can and as fast as you can, and before you know it, it'll be gone. But if you sit there looking at your watch every 10 seconds, it's going to go on forever for you. Trust me, I know this. So he finally hunkered down a little bit. But, you know, it's volunteer work is not always rewarding. To me it is, but for not everybody, it's not always rewarding, and it's not always something that you're going to run out and do. But I got to tell you, it adds to the quality of your life at a level that people sometimes don't know if they've never done it, any kind of volunteer work.
Yeah, no, I just want to throw something in on that. And just a very, very brief story. Many, many years ago in the 90s, I had gotten in some little trouble with the law. No, that sounds terrible, but it had to do with cars and registration and other things. And they sentenced me to community service.
Really?
Huh. Yes, they did. I had to go. It was probably roughly, I want to say maybe 1993, 1994.
How old were you?
Well, let's see. It's 2012 minus 1993. I was 819 years old at that time.
Okay.
So they sentenced me to community service, and they give you a list of things that you can request to do. One of them is you work on the roadside with the orange suits, and I've always thought those orange suits were bright and attractive, but I turned that down. And then they offered me several other things, and one of them was working, helping out at one of the libraries in town mm-hmm. here. And so that sounded more up my alley, and so mm-hmm. I took the library work, and you ended up working pretty much in the back room of the library with a bunch of other people. And I actually had, well, I think it might have been 60 days of community
wow.
service, which is a pretty good little chunk of time.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, they don't give it to you in days, they give it to you in hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I had X number of hours that I had to do, and I went in to do it, and you have to kind of get a certain number of hours done each week. I have to just tell you, I know that this is going to sound gooey, but I'm telling you, you know, straight from the direct experience of it, by the time I was done doing the community service, where you get no money, you mm-hmm. get no recognition, you get nothing,
right.
all you've done is give. You really
right.
haven't gotten anything in the deal. All you've
right.
done is give. By the time I was done, I actually was in the mood to do more community service.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, I actually was at the point where I thought, it should be mandatory for everyone. I know this is a terrible thing because I'm not necessarily for governments directing people to do things, but for people to donate a certain amount of time over a certain period of time where you get nothing for it and it's just pure donation. There's really
yeah.
nothing in it for you except you're just giving something. And the reason why was that at the end, you felt a great sense of community that you had done something. There is a really nice feeling about doing something with absolutely nothing in return for having done it. The goodness was just in the doing, was just
yeah.
in the giving. No one necessarily recognizes you. There's not going to be an award. You don't get to go on TV and thank people for coming and you know, whatever. You,
mm-hmm.
None of that happens. You're just a nobody in a sea, and you gave, and it left me with a tremendously strong feeling of community and sense of togetherness. And it's I know it sounds, the words do not match the feeling. I don't know how
mm-hmm.
to put it in correctly. And I really thought to myself, God, this should be, if this was mandatory in some way for everybody to give a certain percentage, a little tiny thing of their time in a community service type of atmosphere like that, the community would be much closer together because
sure.
it generates these kinds of feelings that you're trying to express right now. I had that experience.
And I don't do it to brag about it. I'm really saying it because the experiences are selfless. I mean, I don't expect anything in return. But what happens in the interim is somebody else is going to get help down the road, you know, like with
right.
this dog. Somebody else is going to get saved because I spent a little time with those dogs, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a ripple effect that happens when you touch other people's lives. You know, there was this woman that ran yesterday. She had to be 300 pounds going by. And I just said, you are just doing fabulous. I said, she says, oh, you could see the look on her face. It was the first time she had done this. And she was, I thought you're going to pass out, but she just kept going. And I said, you are my inspiration. And she was just awesome.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, And a wise person that lived next to me in New Hampshire said to me, she was like my second mom, she says, whenever you're feeling down, to do something for somebody else, and
mm-hmm.
you will always feel better. So, you know, in these
yeah,
times
no doubt.
when we're all challenged and we all have, you know, we're worrying about what's going to happen the next day, and we're worrying about the government, worrying about this and that, and how we're going to pay for things, and all these mortgages underwater, and all these people getting foreclosures, and you know, all the stuff.
There's
that
no
we're
Twinkies
going
even
through.
Anymore. Twinkies are gone.
And
I mean,
Twinkies
we've got a lot
are
to
gone.
Worry about.
On top of all that, you know, the thing is that we really need to stick together and do something good for the community. You know, we
yeah.
just need to. So, you know, I do it. I mean, just so you know, I don't do it for any kind of reward. I do it because I don't have family in town. My mom's passed away,
mm-hmm.
and that's what gives me joy. You know, when I do something like that, and it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good
no,
thing.
I just want to say, I used to tell people I was sentenced to 200 hours of joy. That's what I used to say to people.
That's the greatest thing. That is the greatest expression. That's fabulous.
Yeah, that's what I used to say. Fabulous. And I did go in trying to get something out of it. I thought, well, I'll somehow, you're always working situations to try to get some gain. And in the end, there was just nothing to be had. It just, they worked you. You couldn't get anything out of it. It just ended up being, it was all give and no take. And in the end, it was bliss, you know. And I thought, boy, if everybody felt that, it would be a much nicer little community. The hell with the rest of the world. Just your community, you know.
Yeah.
Just that alone made a big difference. And so I ended up, I just want to briefly end the story. I ended up going back several times to help out.
Wow.
It wasn't quite the same, strangely enough.
Huh.
The bliss wasn't quite as high as being sentenced to it, where you absolutely had to do it. But it still was very good. But the fact that somebody was forcing me, I mean, this is just my own psychology, but the fact that I couldn't get out of it made it better than it was when I went back. I went back several times, knew the people. You get to know these people there, and after a while, and you know these people are doing it for the same thing. They're either sentenced to do it, or they're there, and they're people like you, Robin, that just happen to just want to do that and whatever. But anyway, it was a very good experience for me. I think everybody would benefit from either being sentenced to it or just going and doing it. And you'll find that you are wanting something out of it. In the end, you just give up and say, there's nothing that I can get out of this. I'm just going to do it. And at some point, that magic feeling comes across you, and you do get a very, very bigger sense of community, and that if more people did this, it would be better for everybody, and so on. So that was an experience that very much like what you're going through now, which from a typical bystander, they would say, yeah, that's very nice that you help out. Good for you, you know. But there's really a much bigger, deeper thing for you in it. It's like the teacher thing where you're teaching others, but you're learning even more while you're teaching. You're trying to give as much as you can, and in giving it all away, you're actually getting. So it's funny how it works that way, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the FEMA guys said to me, I said, because I always do the, okay, how old do you think I am thing, because I love people guessing my age. And so he comes up, he says, I don't like to do that. And guys always do that. I said, no, it really doesn't bother me. You'll never get it right. So I said, so just do it. He says, 45. So I told him that I was 60, and he says, why are you doing this? He really was surprised. I said, because every day I look to have a new experience and learn something. I said, and so this was one of the best days I've ever had. This was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and how many people my age say that they did that? You know, it's like, you know, and he was so surprised that I was that. And I think he felt bad that he put me down in that hole. You know, I think he must have felt like mom or something. But, you know, he's like, oh, my God, you're curious. I said, yeah, that's how old I am. So I said, but I like to experience life. I said, and new things. And this was clearly new. And he was really taken, but it was a great, these guys, I have so much admiration for these EMTs and these search and rescue guys, more than I ever had before I joined this group. They are amazing people. They will get out there in areas that are dangerous, that are life-threatening, to find and help somebody else.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you have this in your area, either Robin, well, you live in Las Vegas, Dwayne, but we out here, we have signs on the roadway that say, share the road. So you'll be driving along, and the sign says, share the road.
From Zappos.
And maybe, yeah. And
what
is they,
that, what
I've
does
read,
that mean?
I'm sorry?
What does that mean?
That means that you get into your little car, you're in your little bubble, and you're going to fight it out with the other drivers because you need to get into that spot and so on. Okay. And the sign simply says, share the road. And from what I've understood and articles I've read in the paper here, that has made a tremendous difference, that little sign, that little reminder. Mm-hmm. It's just a reminder. So you're driving along, you're getting, you know, some people get very frustrated in traffic. My daughter is one of them. She likes driving but doesn't particularly like to drive in traffic. It frustrates her. I feel fortunate that I don't have that because I really enjoy driving, but they've had a very good response to the sign, share the road. They're reminding people, this isn't all about you. There's other people here, and why not let the guy pull in front of you. He might even have a bad attitude and feel really good about getting one over on you, because that's how it turns into that, you know, I'm going to get you, you're going to get me back. And just let the other guy have his way. And, you know, for some of us, it's very difficult to do that. And but people have responded to that sign. I wonder if other people have that in their community. But it has worked well out here. Just a simple reminder that it's a community road. It's not just your road. And allow somebody else to get in from time to time, or make a conscious effort to, when somebody has their blinker on and you're jammed up there and you're, oh, I'm not going to let you in. I know you're there, but I'm not going to let you in.
Yeah.
And you just consciously let the person get in and just be a conscious carpet and let them just walk all over you right there. It's actually good. It is actually good.
I giggled because when you said, oh, I don't mind because I like to drive, I picture you in your Volt with a pillow. Because you love to be in your Volt so much.
Well, I just have to drive. I have to get there from here to the A to B, you know. And we all like our little, Dwayne likes his van. I like my little electric scooter and, you know, whatever you're driving.
This guy cut me off in traffic a couple days ago, and this was really bad and really serious, and it was almost a major accident. He just whipped in front of me from the lane next to me. And even after he did it, he never even knew he had did it, because I didn't lay into my horn or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went on about his business. He has no idea how close he came to an ultimate catastrophe. And I caught up to him at the next light, not to do him any harm, but just because I was carrying along at my normal pace. And, you know, I get up behind him, and he's got one of these big bumper stickers on the back of his car: start seeing motorcycles. Now, in other words, he's a proponent of, you know, careful driving kind of thing, you know, that you always look before you make a move and whatever. And I just thought, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, you had more restraint than me in my recent one, which I told you about, where the motorcycle guy was carving up traffic, and I just so happened to get up to him at a light. I mean, amazingly enough, he and I were at the same light. I rolled my window down. He looked over at me, and he had done so many illegal maneuvers to get to that point. And I just said to him, "You'll be dead by Christmas." That was my only line. I thought it was good. He had to be there, but it was good at the moment. You know, sometimes I'm not so
Oh, my. There was a final question for you from Richard. Let me just throw it out there really quick. Does David possibly think that if Congress comes together on some resolution of the fiscal cliff, that the market could rally and attack the September highs in the month of December? And if they did, would that not be a little bearish for gold short term, with a low being had into December, as the market makes a high in December, this to take place after the short-term pullback in the S&P that we started to have today? And that was from your Richard. You know this, Richard. Dave? I guess Dave didn't want to take your
I'm sorry, my mute button actually got clicked by accident. It was turned off by my voice software, so I'm sorry about that. What I was going to say is, you can see that there's people who think on many levels, like what Richard just described was a multi-level description, putting fundamentals and technicals together in a stream of thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this goes up, this would go down, if the news was this and this would this, and all these different things. And to the ordinary person, a question like that would almost sound like someone's ready for a mental institution, because there's so many pieces to it. But in reality, a lot of traders think in those terms. I speak to people all the time that ask questions or make their own statements. Well, let's see, if what you're saying is that is euro is going to go up, that means dollar goes down, bonds move down, S&P would go up, that would confirm that, and then gold would do this. They play out scenarios just like that. Now, having said all that, I've forgotten even what the question was, but it was interesting to hear the question, because I hear people talk like that. My general feeling, though, he was talking about the gold move possibly moving down,
right?
Because we have plenty of time left between here and there, and gold already did do most of its forecast. One of the things I am thinking about, and I want other people to think about just in general with the market, if I can't answer the question in its entirety, is that we may be in the market if we continue to move higher. You know, we have the pullback we're talking about, you know, which we mentioned earlier, expecting a multi-day sideways to lower here after the 1423 to 25. If that actually occurs, and the market were to continue firming up, then we would have a buy the rumor, sell the fact type of scenario with the fiscal cliff. I mean, this is the exact kind of scenario for Richard and others that we've talked about so many times on the show. We have a known event that's about to occur, the fiscal cliff. It has a date attached to it. The cab drivers know about it. The elevator operators know about it. Farmers know about it. We know about it. Everybody knows about it. So now what we want to do is look at the market and see, is the market trending in a particular direction? So slightly counter to what Richard said, although I'm not 100% I put it all together, if the market were to, after pulling back here, and that pullback was just a normal pullback in an ongoing uptrend, if it was to continue higher into the final deal or no deal, this would be the classic buy the rumor, sell the fact. I would actually want to be short the market for a sharp decline. And remember, we talked about the idea of maybe the market testing or attempting 1357 again in December or on or around this time. That could actually bring something like that about. So in the back of my mind, that's what I've noticed I've been thinking, is that we may, with this fiscal cliff, be in a buy the rumor, sell the fact scenario. So how they handle the decline that we're about to have here, you know, the further decline over a number of days, if they firm up off that bottom and continue up, then you're going to hear me on the radio saying, I actually am looking for the market to advance into, roughly speaking, the fiscal cliff date. And then once the fiscal cliff date ends, actually the reverse would happen. Then we would have, let's say it's good news, it's buy the rumor, sell the fact, or whatever the news is, if it rallies into it, I'm expecting a reversal on the downside. And remember, I just want to mention this again, in my opinion, buy the rumor, sell the fact cannot be exceeded as a trading strategy for eternity. No one is ever going to be able to say in that few of words, sell the rumor, buy the fact, buy the rumor, sell the fact, a strategy that is more effective than that. This is Moses coming down from the mountain with the tablet, and the very top of the tablet has, you know, etched into stone something right out of God's lips as a trading strategy. I don't think this will ever be exceeded in terms of the brilliance of how short the words are and how deep and meaningful and useful this strategy is. And that's what I'm starting to think about the fiscal cliff. We may be leading into a buy the rumor, sell the fact kind of deal. We'll talk about that more. Dwayne, did you have anything you wanted to throw in? I thought I heard you maybe say something. Mm-mm. Oh, okay. So I hope that helps a little bit, Richard. That's kind of a little bit counter to them rallying at that point. But if it was, if they start going down into that, if we really break hard here and are leading down, then I'm going to be looking to buy the market on that date. But either way, I like the idea of a reversal happening without any indicators at all, without any kind of other strategy at all, nothing. Just the mere fact that there's a known event. It's beautiful. We've used it many times. We've done very well with that strategy. I told you that a long time ago, the thing with the Martha Stewart going to jail, and we've named a few of them off over time. Just keep that in your back pocket. Keep that on your little tool belt. So I hope that helps, Richard. I wasn't able to answer your question fully, but
oh, he said thank you very much.
Oh, okay, very beautiful. And thanks for the question as well, Richard.
All right, guys.
Well, Dwayne, I think I'll step out and let you go, and thank you for having me on. Robin, a delight to have you on, a fellow community server. So.
All right, Robin, have a great afternoon.
Thank you, David, and thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
All right.
Dwayne, thanks very much. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye now. That's going to do it here. As you can see, high on the S&P 500 E-mini futures has been, so far today, Up at this 14.21.22 zone, we spiked through it up to 23.24, but as you can see on the hourly, we didn't have any closes up there. And now we've come down to 14.08.14.09. We have a zone across here at 15.16, which served as a center of gravity. Above, below, and we got the swing up, the big swing down. This is, you can call this a funnel. You can call it a bugle. The price can get ugly in there. So watch that. This 14.08, 14.09. Yeah, you know, this time of the day, unless somebody from Capitol Hill makes some statement or there's some other news to come out, I have a feeling this 08.09 potentially will hold the market. Just to, you know, in passing, I'll point out that we had an hourly close here above the CFMA1, which is the backbone of our indicator set. That closed at 14.17 and a quarter. Call it 14.17. Price went up to 14.24. That was a 7-point move. And then once we had a close back below, that close was at 14.13 and a half. We went down to 14.09. Actually, 14.08.75. So both of these were very tradable moves. This one here, you had to deal with a bit of a drawdown. But once again, the same basic concept played out. Over here, you had a close at 15.50, and you hit a low here of 14 and a quarter. So not a big mover, but movement nonetheless. Over here, last night, the first close back above, actually this was on Friday. Friday, we had a close above at 14.13.75. And that led to a high last night at 14.18.50. So about a 5-point move there. So that's pretty simple, but, you know, helps you be on the right side of the market. With that, I'm going to leave you. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.